Okay, at this time, I want to introduce our guest speaker today, Dr. Prabina Subedi. She is an American born, but she went to Nepal when she was 18 years old for her DTS outreach through YWAM. And she's been there for over 22 years, and she runs a YWAM base in Nepal. She's married to a Nepali YWAMer, and she's together. She has six children, four of her biological children and two adopted children. Amazing. Six. I just shared with her. I have one two-year-old baby. I'm dying, and I have so much respect. I learned actually a ton from her. Really, I was encouraged to talk to her. She's a global teacher with great passion for people of God and for God's word. Locally and globally, she teaches methods of word by heart. It's a course taught at YWAM. She's actually going to give us the Ephesians by heart. I'm looking forward to that. This basically helps people internalize and encounter the Bible with their hearts. And she's also involved with Bible translation by teaching and empowering the local Nepalese who don't have the Bible in their language, and she works to translate the Bible into their own language. I think this is good enough for her bio. This is a lot. She's doing a lot. She has a lot of experience. It's so good to have her. But if you need her academic background, she has a doctorate degree in intercultural studies, MTH. And she's also a qualified Bible translation consultant, which is rare. So it's an honor to have such a veteran in missions and in ministry. So can we welcome Dr. Prabina Subedi as she comes up?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Greetings, everyone. Good afternoon now. Good afternoon. Such a joy to be with you all this afternoon. So I live and work in Nepal with YWAM. Nepal is situated just south of China, north of India, and it's the only real Hindu nation in the world. India is called Hindu nation, but it's actually Hindu, Christian, Muslim nation, whereas Nepal is supposedly fully Hindu nation, although it's also a communist Hindu nation, so it's a unique place. In Nepal, as a Hindu nation, they worship over 33 million gods. 33 million. And of those 33 million gods, not even a single one of those gods is a god that is capable of showing love or giving true peace. So working in missions in Nepal, bringing God's word, our God is a God of love and a God of peace. And so sharing the gospel message with the people in Nepal is such an amazing privilege because we can share the one God that can offer true love and true peace with the people. And there's such transformation that is happening in Nepal right now. It's actually said to be the quickest growing nation in Christianity in the world today. The rate that Korea grew in Christianity, Nepal is actually growing even faster than Korea was growing in Christianity when Christianity first came to Korea. And so God is doing so much, even though it's a Hindu/communist nation still. And just a couple of stories. So during the COVID time, COVID was actually a huge blessing for our family. Not many people say that, I know. But during the COVID time, every single evening, my husband and I would walk around the community, and we would just prayer walk and intercede for the neighbors. And we would go from house to house, and we would ask God, who do you want us to share today, share your love with? And he would show us different individuals, and we would go and we'd sit with them. And every time we would sit with somebody, they would be startled, and they would move away from us, like, what are you doing? Why are you touching me? Why are you sitting next to me? Because they were sick, they were excommunicated by their families, by different friends, because people were living in fear of catching COVID. And we would just share, it was like, can I pray for you? And they're like, you want to pray for me? Why? It's like, because we worship a God that is a God of love and a God of peace and a God of healing. And they're like, really? Why are you touching me? Why aren't you afraid? And it's like, because we worship a God that is faithful, and we don't need to live in fear. And it would just, it would blow their minds hearing that there's a God that is bigger than the fear of even COVID. And we would pray for different people. We had this one neighbor we went to, and we just sat next to and prayed for her. I put my arm around her and prayed for her. And after praying for her, she went back into the house, and we heard later on, the next morning she told us, but she went back into her house, and she ended up crying all afternoon and into the evening. And her story was she was so sick, not only with COVID, but other things, I don't know exactly what, but the hospital sent her home to die. She was coughing up blood. There was no hope. All of her neighbors, all of her cousins, all of her family members completely rejected her because they were afraid of catching what she had. And so she was left to die on her own in her own little house. And so after we sat with her, hugged her, prayed for her, she went back into her house, and she just wept all afternoon, evening. And that night, before she fell asleep, she realized that she had been completely healed. And the next morning, she ran over to our house, and she's like, "Who is this Jesus? Tell me about Jesus." And so we shared more about Jesus, and she became a Christian right then. And then she went, and she started telling all of her cousins about a God who is a God of love and a God who actually heals. And from her, like, she just became a Christian that morning, right? She went and she had a cousin who was demonically oppressed for like 2-3 years. High fevers and shaking. It wasn't COVID. It was actually demonic oppression for several years. Hallucinating. Could not control her own body for a few years. And everyone was afraid to go near her because she was actually abusive. And so this lady who just became a Christian, she told us about her cousin. She's like, "Can you pray for my cousin?" I was traveling at the time, and my husband and his cousin went and prayed for this lady. She was immediately set free, and she got up, and she's like, "Baptize me right now. I want to become a Christian, me and my whole household." It was wintertime. We have glacier rivers. Nepal is home of Mount Everest, so our rivers are cold, and that's where we do baptisms. And you don't actually have to be baptized immediately to receive salvation. We can wait until it's a little bit warmer outside, but you can still be saved now. And she's like, "Okay, well, my whole household," and like the whole household became Christians. And then 2 months later, when it was warmer, they couldn't wait any longer. They're like, "Baptize us, it's warm enough." And they were baptized. Yeah, but from there, these new believers started going around and sharing the gospel message with everyone with this new excitement because they'd found a God who actually loves and hears and speaks and sees and can offer true peace. My husband is a Nepali. He grew up worshiping Hindu idols until he was 20 years old. And when he was 20 years old, an uncle of his shared with him about Jesus, a God of love, a God of peace, a God that heals. And my husband, his first reaction is like, "I don't need your foreign God. Like, who is this foreign God? You can't even see him. You don't even have any kind of image whatsoever for him. How can you worship something you can't see?" And his uncle was thinking, he's like, "How can I show my nephew who God is?" There was an underground healing ceremony, healing crusade. Christianity has been illegal in Nepal for since a long time. It's now slightly open in the last 10 years, but it was highly illegal at the time. And so there's an underground illegal Christian healing crusade going on. And my husband's uncle brought him to this crusade. And in front of his eyes, blind, their eyes were being opened. Deaf could hear. People were jumping out of their wheelchairs, throwing their crutches. And he's like, "What is going on?" And his uncle said, "That's God. Can you see him? You can't see him, but you can see his works. Do you believe?" And he's like, "Yes." He's like, after 20 years worshiping Hindu idols, they had never seen anything given to him by the Hindu idols, even though they had taken everything from him. You have to sacrifice goats, chickens, money, everything to these Hindu idols, and they never offer anything other than fear and manipulation. And he saw a God who offered healing and salvation without anything in return. And he's like, "I want to follow that kind of God." And so he became a Christian and then joined Youth with a Mission and started missions. But yeah, the word is so, so powerful. God is a God of relationship, a God of love who wants relationship with each one of us. He created each one of us simply so he could have relationship with us. And he's given us the gift of his word so that we can get to know him, so that we can read about him, read the testimony of his goodness again and again and again, so that we can develop a deeper, intimate relationship with him. But you know, even though the word is freely given to us, I mean, you guys live here in America, the Bible is so easily accessible here in America. It's available any bookstore, online, right? It is the most powerful weapon we've been given in this earthly realm, right? The word of God. It is so powerful. And it is a tool to allow us to have an intimate relationship with God because it helps us to get to know him. But you know, the average Christian in the U.S. opens their Bible twice a year, Easter and Christmas. The most powerful tool given to us. How often are we even opening it? Statistically, social media, people spend at least 2.5 hours a day scrolling through social media. And what are the results of scrolling? It leads to depression, anxiety, sadness, anger, pitying yourself of like, oh, that person's life is so much better. Who posts the bad stuff that's going on in their lives, right? Everyone posts the best things. And so everyone else thinks, oh my goodness, their life is so much better, right? Scrolling and scrolling for 2.5 hours a day. Yet we don't have time in our day to read our Bibles. Do you know that it only takes 71 hours to read through the entire Bible? 71 hours. Which means if we fasted our social media 2.5 hours a day for a month, we'd read through the entire Bible. All right? 1 month, 2.5 hours a day, and we can read through or listen on a free app on our phones the entire Bible. What does the word lead to? Right? Reading the Bible, what does that lead to? Freedom, joy, happiness, deeper relationship with God our Creator, healing. How much time are we spending in the Word, and how can we spend more time in the Word? You can get a free app on the phone these days. There's several different ones. But one of my practices is I play the audio Bible as I'm folding laundry or washing dishes. It's like, it doesn't even have to take extra time in the day. You can be doing your chores and your other things while you're listening. And I will tell you, the more I listen to the word, the more I fall in love with the word, the more it equips me to share his word with the people around me, and the more it brings me into that deep relationship with him. I'm involved with this ministry called Word by Heart, and it's a ministry of deeply embedding the word into our hearts so that it literally transforms our hearts and minds to be more like Christ. And this training, this practice, truly, it's transformed everything about me personally, how we do family life, how do we do ministry. Before I started truly engaging in the word at a personal level, my Bible was more like a textbook that I had to go to as a Christian duty and a chore. But the moment my mind shifted, and it's not about a textbook and an academic chore of a Christian, but it's how can I meet Jesus at a more deep personal level? When I open my Bible, asking God to show me who he is, what his character is like, how does he interact with the people around him? It completely transformed the way that I read the Bible, and it's transformed me to have more boldness to show who he is. We lead different people through this exercise of internalizing and equipping ourselves with the word to have it in our hearts. And the more we meditate on God's word, the more boldness people are increased with. When we read stories and meditate on stories of like the blind beggar being healed, it increases a faith of, if God could do that then, why can't he do it today? But we have to be immersing ourselves in the word in order to increase our faith so that we can see these things happening in the world today. We had this one student who was learning the story of the blind beggar and just meditating on this. And as she was walking back to her room one day, she felt God pull her heart a little bit, like, get up those stairs. Now this lady, she was scared stiff of this one staircase. This was in South Africa. She was a little bit older, a little bit larger, and these stairs were a little bit steeper, all right? She was scared stiff to go up these stairs. So she knew it wasn't her own mind saying go up the stairs, because it wasn't her. But she felt she needed to go up these stairs. She went up the stairs, and when she got up there, she found this young man who was having high fever. This was pre-COVID, high fever, hallucinating. The roommates were going crazy, like, what do we do? What do we do? And she walked in there, and all of a sudden, she got this boldness like none other. She said, the same Jesus that healed the blind man is the same Jesus that's healing him today. Then she said to the roommates, all right, within a few minutes, his fever is going to break. He's going to be hungry. Give him food. He's going to sweat. He'll be fine. And then she left. She didn't even wait. She didn't pray, nothing. It was just like the same God who healed the blind beggar. Jesus didn't even pray. He just said, you're healed. She said, the same God that has the authority to do that then has the authority to do it now. She spoke it out and she left. A couple hours later, somebody came up to her and said, guess what? You know that kid that had that high fever? Well, just like 3 minutes after you left, he started sweating. His fever broke. He was hungry. He ate a banana. And now he's down on the field playing soccer. And she's like, I knew. God told me that he was fine. Right? This is a lady who had never seen a physical healing in front of her eyes before. But as she was meditating on the word, it gave her this new faith of the same God that heals back then in the Bible times can continue to heal today. So I was introduced as Dr. Prabina Subedi. I'm actually a high school dropout. I failed in school. I could not study. I was not motivated. It was the last thing I ever wanted to do, to get further education. And then I started the process of meditating on the word and allowing it to go deep into my heart, and it started transforming my mind and my heart. And it gave me a new passion and excitement to study his word, to the point where I actually ended up getting my doctorate. The word transforms. It transforms. My son here, he's going to share a story in a few minutes. When he was 3 years old, he was severely injured. He had an allergic reaction to a vaccine, MMR vaccine. And he had a 106-degree fever for 4 days. No matter what medications we gave, it would not come down. He was hallucinating, 106-degree fever. It was scary. After the fever finally broke, he wasn't the same. Pre-fever, he was a happy, cheerful, joyful young boy that played and talked and had full conversations. And after this event, he couldn't make eye contact. He couldn't speak. He wasn't having conversations. He couldn't even say a full sentence. Just single words here and there, and it was very broken. And he actually went completely autistic. He would sit in the corner and play with a car, completely shut off from the world. And 3 years that went on. 3 years, we thought we lost him. And we're praying, it's like, God, what? Like, what do we do? And then 3 years later, I was going through this process, meditating on God's word and speaking God's word out and meditating on it at such a deep level that the word became part of my heart and part of my own testimony. And as I was sharing the word, I was doing this training with my daughter who was 8, and she was internalizing the Gospel of Luke when she was 8. O'Shea would sit in the corner and just playing with his car, and it looked like he was completely in his own world. The 5th day of this training, he got up, he came over to me, and he shared with me the entire story of Emmaus Road, Luke chapter 24, where the two men were walking on the road of Emmaus. He was 6 years old. He had never spoken a full sentence in 3 years. But hearing the word day after day, just hour after hour, it actually reworked and rewired his brain and allowed him to not only speak, but he internalized the road to Emmaus and started sharing it with me at age 6. Like, he didn't even work for it. He's just listening to it, and we didn't even know he was listening to it. It's like, what in the world? At the time, he was completely illiterate. Coming from being autistic, he also had, what's it called, where all the letters are upside down backwards, dyslexia. He couldn't read. So for another year and a half, he could not read a single word because everything was upside down backwards. And he came to me one day and was like, Mommy, I really want to learn the whole Gospel of Luke by heart. I was like, yes, that's amazing. But it would be really a lot easier if you knew how to read, because then I wouldn't have to sit with you and do all of the exercises with you, because you could check the work on your own. He was 7 years old. He's like, okay. He went and he started praying as a 7-year-old. God, help me to read so that I can learn the Gospel of Luke by heart. 7 years old. 1 month later, he came to me with a book, sat down, opened it up, and just read it to me. I never taught him how to read. It was impossible. Nobody taught him how to read. He went from being completely illiterate to sitting down next to me and reading an entire book. And when he finished the book, he looked at me and said, can I do word by heart now? Can I learn the Gospel of Luke by heart? I'm like, yes, you may. And the next year, when he was 8 years old, he learned the Gospel of Luke by heart. And he's able to read completely. Actually, when he was 8 and 9 years old, God told him to read the entire Bible. And he read through the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, between ages 8 and 9. Coming from a person who could not read the word pig before that, God completely reworked his mind, rewired his mind. I have a student in the Philippines that was taking the Word by Heart school and internalizing the word. And she started communicating the word to her family members and friends. And in the audience, she had a niece who was 12 years old, who was born mute, never spoken a word in her life. And as this person who had internalized the Gospel of Luke was standing up and she was simply sharing the Gospel of Luke, her niece's tongue was loosened and she started speaking for the first time in her life. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody spoke anything over her. It was simply the power of the word going out. Her tongue was loosened and she started speaking. God's word is so powerful. It's the most powerful weapon that we have in the world today. But how often are we using it? It says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? It cuts through bone and marrow, purifying our hearts, our minds. Joshua 1:8 says that we are all, as believers, to meditate on the word of God day and night. That's not talking about just waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a flashlight and reading the Bible. It's talking about getting it in the heart so that we can meditate on it. But the only way you can meditate on it is by spending time in the word. If we're not spending time in the word, it's not going to get into our hearts. How much are we listening to the word? How much are we reading the word? It also says, may the word of the Lord never depart from your lips. The Bible tells us that whatever's in the heart is what comes from the mouth, right? If we're not meditating on the word and putting the word into our hearts, how can we expect the word to come out of our mouth? How much time are we spending in the word so that it transforms our hearts and our attitudes and our minds so that the word itself can come out of our hearts, come out of our mouths? This morning I'm going to share with you some passages. Actually, O'Shea, why don't you come up first and share. So O'Shea is going to share one of his favorite stories with you. A story... yeah, just share the story, and then I'll jump off of that. So he's going to share a story from the Gospel of Luke for us.
Okay. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him as they wanted to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats by the water's edge. Stepping into one of the boats, He asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water, and he taught the crowds from there. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Now go out into the deeper water and let down your nets to catch some fish." Simon replied, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." This time, the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Lord, please leave me, for I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as well as the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
That's the same boy that couldn't speak when he was six, that God completely healed through the word. And he's now, since he was 8 years old, has been traveling around the world. We travel as a family and minister as a family. And he's been teaching since he was 8 years old God's word. Amen? It's like, yeah. God's word is so powerful, and it's for all ages. So we minister as a family, and all of our kids learn God's word from a very young age and internalize it, make it a part of who they are, and share it with the world around them. But this story, it's about talking. It talks about walking in faith and obedience. And for Peter, like, to push your boat out into the deep water in the middle of day to catch fish with their shallow nets, it's impossible. There was no way that there's going to be fish in the middle of the lake midday. They only fish in the nighttime. And they come up to the shores and they fish in the shallow waters, because the fish come up to the shallow waters when it's cooler to feed off of the rocks. By this time in the story, it's midday, and Jesus is saying, go out to the deep water and let down your nets. Absolutely impossible. But Peter was spending time with Jesus and hearing from Jesus. And in spending time with Jesus and getting to know who Jesus was, there was something that put in his heart, even though this is impossible, I'm going to listen to what you say. And he walked out in faith and obedience and let down his nets. And it turned out to be a crazy, miraculous catch of fish, where two fishing boats, like 30 feet long, two of them were so full of fish they were on the verge of sinking. How many fish does it take for two boats to be on the verge of sinking? Can you imagine? When he got back to the shore, they had everything. Like, Peter could have been rich. He could have been famous. He could have had lots of friends. He could have bought a new house. You know, he could have done a lot of things. But instead of doing any of those things, he left everything, his boat, the means for income, all of the fish, the fame, new friends, everything, to follow a homeless man who promised nothing. Why? Because he was developing a relationship with the Word of God. If we take the time to develop a relationship with the Word of God, Jesus, which is also the Word of God in your hands, in your homes, on your phones, if we spend time developing a relationship with who he is, it'll increase our faith to step out and see the impossible happen. God's word is so powerful. This morning, or this afternoon, I want to share with you the Epistle of Ephesians. I was praying about an epistle that I knew I was supposed to internalize an epistle. I had never done an epistle before. I mostly was doing gospels. But as I was praying, I was asking God, which epistle am I supposed to learn? And every time I got to Ephesians, when I was reading through the Bible, it was like this one. I'm like, God, why Ephesians? And the more I started reading Ephesians, the more it became clear of everything in the Epistle of Ephesians is 100% applicable for today. Every single thing. There's two things that people can disagree on. Like, oh, that's not applicable for today. One was the discrimination between Jews and Gentiles. We have so much interracial disagreements and arguments in the world today, right? So if you just replace Jews and Gentiles with two different races, even though there's only one race, it's humanity. But if we, you know, from the worldly perspective, two different races, everything that Jesus or Paul is saying about the Jews and Gentiles, you can see that with different races in the world today. What is God's heart for unity? Because it's all one family. It's all one people. The other thing that people say, oh, this isn't for today, is the slaves and masters. But if you look at what he says to the slaves and masters, you can apply that to any other area in life because we all have people that are above and below in some aspects. Employees, employers, staff, student, teacher, student. And so when you look at the things that are said, it's like, wow, okay, yeah, that's actually for today too. So as I share the Epistle of Ephesians, I want to challenge you to hear this in a new way. Don't hear this as, okay, what's the theology behind what's being said? What is Paul actually wanting to say? Hear it as God speaking to the church, and what does he have to say to the church as a bigger message? It's amazing. The more I meditate in Ephesians, it's a love letter. It's not a book full of theology. It's a love letter that's calling people to Christ, calling people into unity and calling people into love. And so I want to share this epistle with you. It's actually not very long. It's about 20 minutes. So I'm going to share the epistle with you, but I really want to invite you into this letter and hear God's heart for you as an individual and what he's wanting to say to you. Because this letter was not just written to the Ephesians or the seven churches. It was written for us today as well. Okay? All right, let me pray again and then we'll enter in. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are and just for your love and your heart calling us into oneness with you. I thank you for desiring to have a relationship with us, even though we are so broken. You desire so deeply to have a relationship with us that you came and sacrificed yourself on the cross. So I just thank you so much, and I pray that as we hear this epistle of Ephesians, I pray that you will speak new revelation to each one of us. Show us who you are in new ways. Be with my words and lead and guide the words and give each one of us just a deeper understanding of who you are and your heart and your character, God. In Jesus' name, amen.